This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and lows of the FPL teams of some of the country's funniest people.
It's also a show that has frankly strayed from its original brief and become a sadistic cult built around making me eat stuff that makes me cry.
I mean, you could win at any point and not have to do that. This week we'll be joined by Leeds and England striker Patrick Bamford to discuss his FPL team and how popular FPL is in Premier League dressing rooms up and down the country.
Plus, we'll be joined by comedian Alexandra Haddo to discuss her team, the Grealish Showman.
Patrick Bamford. I'm very excited, Matthew, just so you know, because when the interview happens, when Patrick comes on, I shall go all coy like a little boy.
Shall
but
you?
I want you to know, yeah, I'm very excited to talk
I'm looking
to Patrick.
Forward to that. It's really been a show for heroes, hasn't it? We had Stuart Pearce last week, Patrick Bamford this week.
Absolutely. And can I just say, I realise you and Patrick don't have the sort of initial bond that you perhaps have with Stuart, but can I say I hope he gives you as much abuse as Stuart did, and I hope he's as hard-hitting with his belief that you are talentless in FPL and outside of FPL.
Well, the outside bit's a bit harsh, I'm sure.
I thought that was the sort of gist of what he said. It was just that you're sort of, I want to use the phrase, clueless oaf. I know he didn't say that, but that's very much the vibe I got from him.
What, from Psycho, from Stuart?
Yeah, that's what I got. A sort of unfashionable, sort of clueless oaf.
No, what I took from it was basically father-son relationship, that he wrapped his arms around me, almost wrapped me in swaddling clothes, fresh from the bath.
White chiabotte.
Yeah, the whole shebang really went for it. And that's what it felt to me, very affectionate. It didn't feel cold. It felt warmth and care.
Yeah.
Obviously expressed sometimes in you know, arguably kind of derogatory language, but I guess that's kind of, you know, that's football for you, you know, and as football guys, you know, we love a bit of bants.
Now, you love a no-game week, don't you? So I imagine you're quite chipper this week.
Well,
no,
I am
no
chipper.
No stress, yeah.
Well, because I finally got to go to the pub for the first time in a long time, and I didn't go to the pub with any old sod. I, at the weekend, in a story that sounds too strange to be true, ended up on an all-day drinking session with Bricktop Tony from Snatch, Alan Ford.
Speaking of people who could give you an absolute talking to.
Oh, man.
Are you listening here?
He is so funny. So he's 83 and he looks great on it. And I got to know him a few years. It sounds bizarre, but this is all true. But I got to know him a few years ago when your friend of mine, Lloyd Langford, brilliant Welsh comedian.
Wonderful man.
We were talking about him and he said, oh, we should email him and I invite him out for dinner. So I was like,
he's Welsh, Lloyd Langford, by the way.
Oh, you now steady on. So I said, all right. So we're sort of drunk in the pub, emailed his agent. It turns out Alan Ford is a massive fan of British comedy and not just TV and radio, but like he's aware of the circuit, has an amazing detailed knowledge of British stand-up. So he'd heard of both Lloyd and I. And anyway, we ended up taking him out for dinner. We've kept in touch. We kept in touch through lockdown. So I met him at his local. And he's just the most amazing bloke because he's got all the mannerisms of Bricktop. Obviously because it's him, right? So he moves and sounds like him. But his personality is very different. He's a very pleasant man. But even when he's just describing ordinary things, or even just what he wants to drink, there's an air of menace about it. I was like, oh, what do you want? And I'll have a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, my God. It's so funny.
How do you think he would... Did you talk about FPL at all? Is he a football man?
He's more a man of the arts. He's very well read. He's very into plays and the stage and things. And we sat there outside his pub, people walking back and forth, just chatting to him. Oh, my word. So this happened. This was bizarre. Guy walks past in a Forest tracksuit. This is in London. So obviously,
Hill Forest.
Absolutely. So I go, you Reds. And he goes, oh, hello, mate. And I go, hello, how are you doing? So I just entered into a friendly conversation. Now, I'm a few pints in at this point. I said, oh, yeah, how are you doing? And he went, well, not bad, apart from a bus crashed into my house and demolished it. So now I'm living in a hotel. I went, oh, right. Hang on, what? He said, yeah. A bus veered off the road, demolished my house, and I'm living in a hotel. So I was like, oh. And you know when you just like passing conversation outside, it wasn't really what I'd bargained for. And then Alan goes, is he a mate of yours? And I went, no. And he was like, I just told you, his house has been demolished. So what's going on here? I was like, well, I've just asked him how he was, and he told me because his house has been demolished. Bob Bass, I was like, well, you were here. It was just the most surreal. I mean, obviously, especially once you're a few beers in, you're like, hang on, what? What is going on here?
We've reached the point of the curse of Matt Fords. I'm going to say it again, and this is probably the last week I'll say it because it's not the catchphrase I'm looking for. Are you okay, mate?
I'm having a wonderful time. I'm having a lovely time. And you know what's really nice when you tell someone something, particularly like a proper, he's bricked up. He said, you're looking good. You look like you lost weight. I said, yeah, I've got gout. He went, ah, the old salmon. Salmon and trout. So I've just been diagnosed by Bricktop. It just felt, it's the most invigorating experience of my life.
I had a conversation with a celebrity about piles this week. Shall we play Who Did John Richardson Talk To About Piles This Week? 20 questions, go.
Comedian.
Yes, more of a straight stand-up of his time. An entertainer in the broadest sense.
Were they big in the 90s?
Yes.
Jack D?
No.
Oh, wow.
Whereas Jack D might have been on perhaps Channel 4, this person was very much Saturday night, BBC, ITV.
Bradley Walsh.
You're in the right ballpark now.
Jim Davidson.
They are friends. No, come
Bernie
on,
Bernie Clifton.
Mate. What am I chatting to Jim Davidson about grapes for?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not bumping into Jimmy D, am I?
Well, the answer
keep him off Brexit. Let's talk about piles, mate. Got the right first initial.
Which was what?
J.
J.
I could have asked him where he was going with that gun in his hand.
What on earth has happened now? Are you...
That's a song lyric. Hey, blank, where you going with dead gun in your hand?
Right, okay.
Don't know the song. The song's called Hey Joe.
Right, okay. So Joe... So... 60-year-old comedian called Joe. If anyone at home is getting this,
I'll give you the biggest clue I can possibly give. La 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 la.
Joe Pasquale
wow. Gave me a treatment for hemorrhoids this week.
Which is what?
You pour ice cold milk directly into the anus.
But you'd have to be doing a handstand.
Well, he has someone do it for him.
Also, hang on, into, but it's a closed valve.
Well, you can open the valve and you can pour in the milk.
What is this?
He said. He said the coldness helps relieve the piles and the protein in the milk breaks it down. And if you're going to question the man, you take it up with him.
Okay, I've got a lot of questions. Let's start with question number one. Have you tried it yet?
No, I'm a vegan and I don't think it'll work with oat milk.
Okay, so secondly then, did he seem serious? And I know that's a very difficult question when applied to the man Pasquale.
Oh, he acted it out, mate. Told a very funny story about having it done at a tour show because he couldn't go on because the grapes were acting up so much and he had to get his tour manager to do it. The security guy walked into the dressing room when it was happening. And then 20 years later, he was back at the same theatre and the security guy said to him, pint of milk in your dressing room, Joe, as requested.
Okay.
And he said, I can't believe he remembered. And I said, I can't believe you think someone would forget watching Joe Pasquale have milk poured into his rectum.
Oh, does he recommend any particular type of milk?
No, his exact words were, forget your anusol, cold milk.
Forget your anusol, you want cold milk.
Yeah, right up there. But I explained that mine were internal.
Where's Pinkie Pie?
Hello?
Is that Pasquale?
Where's Pinkie Pie? No, that's my daughter. She does sound similar.
Does sound like Pasquale? I thought he turned up.
She's just asking where Pinkie Pie is. I did bring Pinkie Pie.
Is that what you
call
Uranus?
Where's Pinkie Pie is probably in the hallway, I think. I brought her in from the car, so okay. She's in here somewhere. Night-night.
Pinkie Pie to do with the piles, or is that a bum steer? Is that something else?
I mean, Pinkie Pie does sound like an affectionate term for a pile, but is actually the party pony from My Little Pony.
Okay.
As you all know, they've all got different skills, and that's what their cutie marks denote. Pinkie Pie has three balloons that indicate that she is the party pony. There's Twilight Sparkle, there's Rarity, there's Rainbow Dash. You know, some are good at talking to animals, some are good at magic, some can fly. There's
a
whole
new
world.
Are any of them good at relieving anal fissures?
Yes, Dangleberry is the pile pony, and her cutie mark, well, it's too graphic to describe. You don't see her on the cartoon, put it that way.
So now I understand how my conversation with Bricktop started, because he told me I'd lost weight. I said that was part of the reason. How on earth do you start a chat with Joe Pasquale about your bumhole?
Oh, well, I sat down and burst into tears. let's talk about football, because it has been a big football. Although there have been no games, there has been a game-changing moment in football this week that Newcastle United have rid themselves of Mike Ashley to the tune of £300 million and are now owned by a Saudi conglomerate. What do you think of all this, Matthew?
Well, so I fully understand why our friends in the north are delighted
Lovely.
To see the back of Mike Ashley. I fully understand that. It's the only part of him I'd want to look at. But
oh, he's got proper gear on this. You can hear the notes rustling.
That, you know what? This is all ad-lib, baby.
Is it? Very good.
Oh, drinking
good
it
evening,
like Pasquale's Matthew. Milk before he's taking it to his anus. Because...
When are the British Podcast Awards?
Well, however... Without wanting to sound all, you know, worthy about it, I do worry about sport washing. I wasn't happy about the World Cup being in Russia. I'm not happy about the next one being in Qatar. I'm not happy about the ownership of various football clubs in England. This is the latest one. I just slightly despair that how readily fans go, oh, well, other clubs are owned and la-di-da. You're like, well, if we all do that, then... The world's a terrible place, and the success of our football teams, much as I'm desperate for my own team to be successful, there are other things that also matter a lot, including human rights in countries where the owners have hugely enriched themselves and the public, sadly, live under tyranny. And I can't believe how readily football fans can justify it. Breaking news live on the podcast, by the way, and we know that by the time you listen to this, things may have changed, but the curse of me, England are currently losing 1-0.
Oh my God.
While we record. Oh, but Ronaldo in my fantasy team has scored twice for Portugal. So maybe the curse is starting to lift. Ronaldo raising his game, wants to start for United, and that will then boost my FPL team.
As you said, Ronaldo, in your team, you are, you know, I'm talking to you as if you're his manager. Talk to me about the fact that Ronaldo was given Premier League Player of the Month this month. A bit controversial, really. Mo Salah really hasn't had a bad week. Ronaldo has been benched and had a bad week.
Yes, and as well as that, I don't know if you saw this, he's had a cryotherapy chamber shipped to his new home, which the temperatures can go as low as minus 200 degrees.
Yes, now I have had cryotherapy. Have you?
No, tell me about it.
I did it. I went to LA to do like a show for Channel 4 where... One of the, it was all about future tech. And one of the things was these people who believe age is limitless. And, you know, by dint of the average age for the healthiest in society going up basically a year every year, you can basically live forever. And one of the things I firmly believe in is these new technologies and cryotherapy. And I don't massively believe in it, but I will say this. Lucy says, I haven't got ill since I had cryotherapy, and she wants me to keep having it. The thrill of coming out, there's a euphoria to being that cold and then not being that cold. Now, there's a lot of science behind what happens to your cells. For me, it was just like, it was like a roller coaster. It was horrific. And then you come out and for a good few hours, you're just happy not to be doing that anymore.
Is it like, obviously the closest thing I've had is a cold shower or put ice on myself. So is it that that pain is severe, or is it almost so cold that it's a completely different sensation? Is it immediately cold? Do they kind of lower you in? How does it work?
It's not as bad as you think. So you sort of walk into it. It's like a phone box, basically. You have to wear gloves and things, because if your hand touches anything outside, it'll sort of freeze to it. And when you walk, I mean, it's cold when you walk in, but then, I mean, the difference between minus 80 and minus 200, you know, I mean, who can tell? It's just so cold, it's obscene. You sort of can't compute it. It's so insane. But I did feel really good afterwards. And I also got like spun round in a little pod that's supposed to send all the blood to your brain while you get like images fired at you, like different coloured images to scramble your brain. I had the sort of vitamin B shot. You know, I did come out feeling really good.
It sounds great. I mean, I would love to do it, you know, because I love the cold.
Well, what about for the next game week? Since we've had a week off, what about next week? There's a reward for the victor and a punishment for the loser. So if you win, I'll pay for you to go and have a session of cryotherapy, and then the loser has to do a bad forfeit.
Yes, and likewise, I'll pay for you to have cryotherapy. Because you know what? The logic, actually, I think is good. Because think about how our crops work. And what often insulates your crops from pests is a good frost. And part of the problem with climate change is that you're not getting those cold winters that kill the bugs off.
You're likening Cristiano Ronaldo to a kale.
Absolutely.
Sort of winter kale.
Yeah, so the coldness obviously kills. What they tell you about your jeans, don't wash them, stick them in the freezer. I've never done it. Have you?
No, God, no. I don't even wash them. You don't wash jeans, do you?
I wash mine. Oh, mate, you are missing out, pal, because I'm telling you, it's close to fresh bedding as you can get. Putting on a fresh kind of like, because they kind of go stiff.
Yeah, I don't like that.
There's a slight bit of friction when you put them in. And it's a very satisfying roughness on the flesh. And then,
now if,
oh, yeah. It's if almost we were like, in the, putting your whole body in a sock.
No, I don't think I'd like that. I don't like the constraint. Sometimes I have nightmares about being in one of those straitjackets. I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'd go mad. I'd be screaming.
We did dream therapy the other week. Tell me about this dream.
Yeah, I can't handle the thought of being in, I just sort of tied up in a straitjacket on the floor screaming.
How often are you having this dream? When was the last time you had it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe once a year. It's not a regular one. But the fear of it just occurs to me during the day. Sometimes I'm sitting there and I have to sort of flail my arms around just to remind myself that I can do. Something about not being able to move my arms I find very upsetting.
I wonder where that comes from then. Do you get hugged too tight?
I don't know. I'm not a very affectionate person.
Yeah. Maybe it's a fear of just restriction in general. You don't like being told what to say. You don't like these new rules. No one's going to straight. It's a metaphor for what's happening to our society.
For
John Richardson wants
Britain.
To say something, he's going to say it.
Yeah. I was chatting to Jim Davidson about this week after he told me to tip a McFlurry down the end of my penis to treat crabs.
Well, you know what? It would probably freeze them to death or drown them. So Jim might be onto something.
While we are discussing forfeits and prizes, last week you were set a challenge to get a message for this podcast from none other than Late Night Loves Graham Torrington.
Okay, I have good news and bad news. The good news is I am in touch with GT, and he has agreed to do a message. We just don't have it yet. So hold on there, listeners. That treat coming next week.
Let's get our first guest. What a thrill. I'm delighted to say that we are joined by Leeds United legend, England legend, and FPL legend, Patrick Bamford. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to make it clear from the outset that as a Leeds United fan, I don't know if you know much about this podcast, but Matt Ford is cursed and is basically the reason if you've had a bad FPL week, it's because of Matt Ford. So he's had Kane in from the beginning, and we all know how that's ended up. He brought in Ronaldo the week that he got benched. I'm only allowing him to speak to you because you're injured already. So I wouldn't allow him to curse you and make you miss Leeds otherwise. Games if you weren't already missing Leeds games. So I'm loath to introduce you, but Pat and Matt, say hello. And Matt, just rein in the curse if you would, please.
I don't have any control over this. Patrick, we had Stuart Pearce on the show last week. And you know, he's a guy who is an inspirational leader, who uses psychology in his career. I'm sure you're on top of your own psychology. Do you believe in certain people being jinxed in sport, in life, in FPL?
No, although there has been a fair few times where I was close to believing it, because it used to happen to me quite a bit last season. Mainly with myself, actually.
Okay.
I would take myself off captain for 1 week because I thought, say, for instance, Salah had an easier game. I'd put him captain and then I'd end up scoring like one or two or get two assists or something. And Salah did nothing. So it did happen a few times.
And that's different for you because you can actually materially affect things. You're actually playing in the league that you're able to select yourself for your own team. But if you go on like a bad run in FPL and it's not your fault, like it's other players that you've picked apart from yourself, what can you do to turn things around? Because it's driving me mad.
I'm having that kind of conundrum at the minute because this year we're not allowed to put ourselves in this year, like anyone from Leeds. So I've had to build
by
my team.
By order of who? The management?
No, I think it was last year, some people who were like, obviously thought they were a little bit of a spy. They kind of looked at our teams and saw who was taking who out. And so when they realised that, say, for instance, one of us took maybe Rafa out or Luke Ayling, they realised, oh, maybe he's injured. So then everyone would twig on. And they were almost saying that it was like leaking team info, even though it wasn't. And I don't know how they managed to find out.
Novelty for Leeds to be spied on for once.
Yeah, it wasn't something we were used to.
Matt Ford there, taking the side of Derby County for the first time in his career. You own it, mate. You own it. Would that be a problem on the pitch last season? Like if you're through on goal and you know you've taken Luke Ayling out of the team and he's available on the left, it doesn't affect a pass, right? If you just
No,
I can't have him scoring a goal.
I don't think so. I don't think anyone or any of us footballers take it that serious. I think there'd probably be big issues if we did. I can't imagine the manager being too happy. If
does he know? Does Bielsa know about FPL?
I'd imagine so. He knows. He pretty much knows about everything. So I'd imagine he does know about it.
And do you apply Bielsa level process to your FPL? I mean, how many hours are we talking out of an average Pat Bamford week? How much are we looking
slacking,
at FPL?
To be honest, I'm slacking because I forgot to do it the last week. I ended up leaving, I think I had Ronaldo captain when he was on the bench. So I did forget the last week. And
I mean, it could be worse. You could be Matt Ford who stares at it for hours and still leaves Ronaldo captain when he's on the bench. So don't feel bad.
I mean, the difference is, obviously, Patrick, you're a professional Premier League footballer. So you're in the middle of this. This is your workplace. So it must be so much easier for you because you know all the people. You have access to all those informal information flows. I mean, if you could pass any of it on, I'd be very grateful.
it did used to happen last year, you know. Like, I remember like when people would text people and say, is so-and-so starting? Just to like find out for their fantasy team. I'm not sure whether they always got an honest answer. But
you know what's great about this? It's our insider trading, but legal, because this isn't like the match-fixing scandals of the 90s. If you're just tipping people off about FPL, it's basically a victimless crime.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether, like, with people who aren't involved actually within the sport, whether it's a money thing or not. But obviously for us guys, it's just like a bit of fun. So it's kind of a bit of banter between your mates about who comes bottom, who comes top.
I mean, the closest we get is making 4D stuff that makes him cry. So if I ever tap you up for information, no, there's no money involved. There's just the embarrassment of a man who frankly deserves it.
So it's worth it then, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you ever do like chili challenges at Leeds? Have you ever forced to eat food that's too spicy and would make you cry?
No, but I remember me and Lewis Baker, when we were at Middlesbrough, like he's one of my best mates. We used to have games nights with me and my missus and him and his missus. And we'd team up, us two against them two. And whoever lost, there was always a forfeit. And if you didn't want the forfeit, there was two forfeits or something to pick from. You could choose a magic box, which was like, you can't turn it down no matter what it is. It's like a challenge.
Love it.
And I remember some of the forfeits were like eating horrible spicy things. One of mine, I decided to go for the magic box, and it was to try and eat a whole lemon, skin and everything within a minute, which obviously failed. So then I had to do the forfeit anyway. So there's loads of games like that we used to play.
Failing's worse, isn't it? For getting like 50 seconds in and having eaten 3/4 of a lemon is worse than just getting it done.
Way worse.
I'll tell you what, we've got our forfeit for this week, Fordy. Magic box.
I'll tell you what also is hard as well. You know one of those big dairy milk bars of chocolate?
Yeah.
But that's kind of been out the fridge a little bit, so it's a little bit soft, and bit, when you eat it, tacky. It gets stuck in your mouth. You've got to try and demolish one of them in a minute.
Okay, so are you allowed assistance? Can you wash it down with a cup of tea or not?
No, no drinks. Just go for it.
That's dark, man, because that sounds like a treat. I think I've probably eaten one in under a minute before. There's certainly some boxing days I've had where I've probably done two or three. But the lack of access to a warm drink, really, that's the turn of the knife.
Yeah, and you feel sick by the end of it, trust me.
I hope you enjoyed those periods, because I watch Leeds now and I worry about, I mean, your physical fitness is extreme. And I now think, when did you last have even, I imagine even a square of dairy milk now, you have to admit that you've had it the next day. When you're on the scales, not good, Patrick.
Yeah, you have to watch out a little bit, but you kind of get used to or work out what you can and can't get away with. And it's kind of like a balancing act, really.
I did hear you saying on the Leeds United podcast that you still have the odd M&S pudding after a tea.
Yeah, do every now and then.
I don't want this to come up again.
No, if I've had a hard day at training, then I feel like I've kind of earned one.
Okay.
But whilst I'm injured, no.
Well, let's talk about it in a way that won't get you into trouble. If you weren't a footballer, what pudding would you have every day?
Well, I couldn't have the same one every day, but I've got like a soft spot for cheesecakes.
Ooh, yeah. What sort?
It's turned into quite a sexual podcast. The fact we both said that at the same time, I felt uncomfortable with myself there. I'm not going to lie. Oh, yeah, go on. Any sauce on it? Salted caramel or fruit?
Yeah, I like the salted caramel ones. Yeah, I don't mind a fruit one as long as it's not lemon.
Yeah, keep going. Squirty cream on top.
No. I don't go that far.
You've got to be reasonable. Let's quickly get back to FPL, because I'm aware that time is of the essence and I don't want to just talk about cheesecake. You've been in it for years. Have you had like a season where you were like, that was proper good? Have you been in the top? I think the top like 50 or 100,000 is pretty exceptional.
To be fair, last year was probably the first year where I actually kind of stuck with it or didn't forget about it for like the last 2 months of the season. So last year was probably my best finish, but I don't know where I came.
How are you doing this year? Do you know?
I actually opened it in front. Not very good.
Talk us through your team.
Yes, yeah. And tell us how many points you're on, because if I'm doing better than you, it'd be a heck of a boost for me.
Points. So points. Ooh. 185.
No way! You're kidding! That's terrible! I'm beating myself up! Oh my god!
Wait, but 185, but I'm like top three in most of my leagues.
You're in a comedians league. That put you second from bottom.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, well, it was last week killed me, didn't I? I got like 30 points.
Yeah, you got 39 last week, Matthew. So, you know, let's rein it in.
Yeah, but you have to remember. I'm sorry, Patrick. I hope I wasn't being rude. I basically lost.
That's the happiest
week
you've been for a year.
Since this podcast started, the start of the season, I've been the whipping boy. I've lost every week. I've been force-fed terrible food. I'm third from bottom. My luck isn't turning round. So hear that I've got more points over the course of a season than a Premier League and England star. Obviously, it's a huge boost to me.
And I've used my wild card as well.
When did you use your wild card?
The second week.
I think that's really useful.
Why did you use your wild card so early?
Because I remember Lukaku signed, didn't he, after the first game?
Yes.
And so I wanted to get him in. So I had to rejig and I just thought, I'm not taking the points hit. So I'll have to use my wild card. And then I ended up taking a points hit to get Ronaldo in anyway later on. So.
Yeah, Matt, you used your wildcard week one, didn't you? And then took a 20-point hit the week after as well.
Yeah, I didn't really quite understand what I was doing. Yeah, so I used my wild card and then still wasn't happy and then like made a load of other signings to bring Ronaldo in. Because I was basically at my budget limit. I then had to sell a load of other players to get Ronaldo through the door. So it's been, I mean, this is why I'm so surprised. Because I am really bad at it.
That must mean I'm having a shocking season. Because if you've taken a 20-point hit as well.
Yeah, there's no
way of saying it. You are losing to a cursed man. I mean, I have banned Matt Ford from putting you in his team. I can't have him picking Leeds players because he's just an absolute jinx. I'm trying to bribe him to pick Southampton players this week. Anyone we've got coming up, yeah, get him in your squad.
And is there a type of player that prefers to play FPL compared to other types of players? Obviously, it's a very sort of different setup now. Footballers from all sorts of different parts of the world. Does it, as in, I guess, normal life, also attract a sort of nerdier player?
I feel like at Leeds, it's generally like the English lads who, and I'd say the lads who like really love football. Maybe the foreign lads probably don't know what it is and kind of haven't really played it before or come across something like that. But the English lads who, as I'd say, like really love football, like deep in, deep out.
What is your, because I, as someone who buys FIFA every year and designs a player that is himself,
right,
just for the thrill, what gives you the most thrill, being able to pick yourself in FPL or being able to play as yourself in FIFA?
Not FIFA, because my ratings, I'm basically unusable.
Not far off in FPL.
At the minute, yeah.
I meant as a manager, not as a player. God, that sounds rude.
But
Dudley fans got his claws out this week.
I don't even bother playing with myself on FIFA. I'm bloody useless.
You want to just, you can tweet your levels, can't you? I mean, I don't want to. John Richardson is a hell of a player on FIFA, but it doesn't reflect reality. There's no.
I give the FIFA guy, the guy who like kind of gets in touch with the clubs for any kind of promo stuff and that, I always give him so much stick and battered him this year. He's done absolutely nothing.
Do you think that might be it? Do you think the abuse is starting to? Do you think you're going to be 4'6" and with a pace of about 28?
Well, my pace is embarrassing. It's like there's people in Leeds team who've got higher pace on the game, and I'm thinking, like, what's going on?
Who is the manager? There's a manager, isn't there, that outsprints all his players?
Steve Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Poor old Steve Bruce, now sprinting to the front of the Dole queue, but at least he'll get there first.
So, Patrick, what's your team called?
Oh, it's just my name.
Patrick Bamford?
Yeah.
Well, there's an honesty to that.
Oh, what happened there? Just,
I'm hiding under a duvet. Lucy keeps poking me through the side of it. I'm talking to an England international. Please don't embarrass me in front of my friends. Good night. That's my daughter off to bed. I feel like I've given a bad impression of myself. I don't know what to say, really. I want to wish you all the best for the future of FPL, but I mean, 185 points, it's really shocking.
Well, on the positive side, it can only go up, though.
Yes.
I mean, it can't go much worse.
No, that's right. I mean, also, could you join our league? Because that would then get me out of the bottom three.
I'll tell you what, send me the league and let me gain a few more points. And then when I'm in a respectable position, I'll just jump in there and like top off.
There is a definite link between the success of the comedians and their position in the league. I would have to say that, you know, Ramesh and people like that who are working a lot tend to be down the bottom. Fordy's a real anomaly, performing so badly and yet having such a quiet diary. But it's the nerds at the top.
Who is at the bottom of the league? Who are the bottom five?
Sean Walsh, Ramesh Ranganathan, Matt Ford. Who else is down the bottom? I don't really look.
And Rob Beckett and Laura Smythe.
Yeah. Beckett's down there as well. Yeah. It's not the side of the league I really focus on. We guys at the top.
Never look down.
Absolutely. You can't look behind you, can you? Will you be back soon, physically?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so in the next, like, within the next couple of weeks, I think. So it's just like I've got to take each day as it comes at the minute, but it won't be long. It's not a long one.
If you outperform us in FPL this week, as a treat, we'll get you a slice of cheesecake. Is salted caramel your favourite, or do you have a...
No, salted caramel is just fine, yeah.
And any particular brand you like?
No, you can surprise me.
Okay.
I assume you don't want that sent to Thorpe Archer or anywhere where Bielsa might get a sniff of it. Do you want that? I'll leave it in a secret location somewhere.
I'll tell you what, you can send a whole cheesecake to Thorpe Archer and say it's on behalf of your league.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for suggesting the lemon forfeit, and hope to see you back soon.
Cool. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Patrick. Bye-bye. Take care. See you soon. Bye.
Cheers. Time now for Hit the Post, where we deal with our bulging virtual mailbag. I was going to pretend we had a kind of sack. I quite like the Ed the Duck. You know, life was more fun when things were tangible, wasn't it? But maybe that's not a discussion for today. But you can get in touch. Hello at CPFP.
You're talking about the mailbag or Ed the Duck?
Both. Just having like actual letters to open, you know, the treat of seeing different people's handwriting. But we
do you remember when they first, you could email, I think this went viral, like the first email address at Going Live when they switched from letters to email? It was like hello@goinglive.talktalk.email.supplychain/ Their first email address is ludicrous. It's a real sign of the times.
Well, we are a modern show. That's why it's easy to get in touch with us. Hello@cpfpl.com or tweet us @comediansfpl. We've had an email here from Sander Epping, who goes by the name of Eppo. He says, hello, I'm Dutch. I don't play FPL, but that doesn't mean that the curse doesn't affect me. I'm Dutch and play a sort of fantasy Eredivisie, the Dutch League, and my scores are plummeting ever since I listened to your podcast. It would be nice if Matt could formally make his apologies for even affecting the scores in the Dutch Fantasy League. I do like your podcast and listening to Matt losing his mind. Cheers, Eppo.
Don't want to have a bang at that in a Dutch accent?
Oh, would that be racist?
No, I don't think Dutch is all right. And if you go from it, would be nice.
Okay. It would be nice if Matt could formally make his apologies for even affecting the scores of the Dutch Fantasy League. I do like your podcast and love listening to Matt losing his mind. Cheers, Eppo. Well, thanks, Eppo. Thanks for leaving us that voice note. Hearing from a Dutch listener actually is very triggering for me, John, because have I told you about the holiday I went to in Holland as a child?
No.
This is so tragic, right? So me and my sister, oh man, we went to Holland for 3 weeks, and it was a long time, and we stayed with a family, so my mum didn't come with us. Now this was all
what?
Oh man, so this is so, I don't think I've ever told anyone about this. We it was a trip for disadvantaged children organized by the local Salvation Army, low-income families, and we got sent to Holland for 3 weeks, which sounded great. I mean, I still remember.
It doesn't when you say sent. You make it sound like it was a draft.
We just thought, this is great. And we were both, we were both raised by my mum, you know, a tight-knit family unit. We were of primary school age, I think maybe 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. And it was over a summer holiday. And, we were just both so homesick the moment we got there. We really missed our mum. We're staying with this lovely family. And the dad ran a supermarket called De Boer, which is a chain of Dutch supermarkets. It was in Friesland. And we basically just cried every day for 3 weeks because we really missed home. And like, we'd write to our mum all the time. I mean, it was pathetic. When I look back now, I'm like, you sad little loser. You should have just been running around Holland for 3 weeks enjoying it. And I remember buying porridge on video, getting it back, and it didn't work in our region. Anyway, it was in Dutch. And we would just eat chocolate spread and the Michael Jackson album, Dangerous, I brought off a Dutch market and just listened to that. And I would make a diary counting down the days. It basically turned into hell. And this poor family must have been like, we're taking in these two kids from Nottingham. And all they're doing for 3 weeks solid was just weeping. We were like people.
Did they not try and do anything, though? Did they not take you anywhere?
Oh, yeah, but it was more like there was kind of no great plan. We just sort of knocked about. You know, it was all
did
a bit
they have
strange.
Kids?
Yeah, they had kids. One of them slapped me. He slapped me on the face.
Get over it.
You know what? I think I drawn on his jotter and he pinned me down and slapped me. I was like, oh, man, what? I'm crying over my mum. I missed my mum. I had this little T-Rex that I bought off a market that I was kind of, you know, that was like my lucky mascot. I was so, I've never been, so, I don't think I've ever been as homesick since, obviously it would be basically, but just, the reason why I've never really told anyone about that, I'm basically ashamed
of it. Because it's tragic. It's really, one of the worst stories I've ever heard.
I can still remember the tracksuit that we got for the flight. It was so exciting having a tracksuit to wear for the flight. I mean, I make it sound like I grew up in like Victorian England, which I didn't. But it's
one of those stories I'm going to sort of assimilate as if it's my own, and I'm going to have a flashback in the week and think, oh God, they're going to send me back to, oh no, that's fine, because it wasn't me.
The only amusement I would have actually was that they had a swing in the back garden. I'd let the swing get as high as I could, and they would just sort of leap off it, which sounds almost like sort of troubling behavior, but I really enjoyed just sort of flying through the air for a bit. I think it worried the family that I was crying and then basically leaping. I was just pretending to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, you know, when they leap through the air in action films and something's been blown up. But I'd basically just listen to Michael Jackson's album. You know, whenever I hear that song now, hold me. I'm like, oh God. He takes me back to Holland. 10 years old. Miss Mama. I can't listen to the album anymore. It absolutely sets me off. I'm like, oh God, I miss my mom. I want to fling myself off a swing in the pool. Also, I remember the mum. She had the shit. No, she was constipated. The mum was constipated. And in order to get herself moving, because she would hang off the door like a monkey. So she'd open the door in their kitchen, lock her fingers over the top of the door, and then lift her feet off the ground. And I was like, I was sat there weeping listening to Michael Jackson. She was be going,
I need to shit.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I wouldn't have even said anything out of there. I'd have just sort of like embarrassingly sort of looked for a second and then been terribly shy. She caught my.
I've got the opposite trouble, duck. I can't stop doing that.
I was like,
that much chocolate spread.
But she said, oh, I must. I cannot go to the toilet for Charlotte, so I must get myself moving. I was like, oh. But yeah, she would sort of just hang off the door, which seems very perilous because doors move.
Look at it from their point of view. They have been told, would you be good enough to welcome these two children from a deprived background? They've never been on holiday. It'll be such a treat for them to be abroad. And then all you do is cry in their house. She's thinking, he would rather be in a deprived situation in England than come to my house on his holiday. It's a real slam, that.
Yeah, I hadn't realised how... I mean, we were very grateful. Obviously, very polite children.
No wonder she was bound.
All I really ate when I was there was Orinoco chocolate spread. I don't know if you've ever had it. Get in touch. Hello at cpfpl.com. Loved it. I would just have chocolate spread sandwiches, throw myself off a great height and weep. But, you know, it was character forming.
So what's the region? If Eppo's listening, what's the region of Holland? Let's see if we've got any listeners there.
Friesland. Friesland in Holland. And if they've still got De Boer supermarkets, send them my regards. I loved a De Boer supermarket. It was a world of wonder to a lad that had only known Happy Shopper. I was like, oh, my God, these are incredible.
Adam says, I'm not one to believe in curses, but I've had two terrible FPL weeks. Listening to you talking about it impacting the real world as I was on my daily walk through the woods, I thought it was all b****. But at that moment, stood on a dead rat and blood and guts went everywhere. Definitely. definitely Matt's fault.
What?
The curse strikes again.
Yeah. The curse has struck again, actually. For I am the Dark Wizard. You better
and
watch
I bring
out.
You.
You lot out there running your mouth. That's what happens, mate. Dead rat on your path. And it's only going to get worse, pal.
How are you at Minnesotan accents?
No idea.
No, me neither.
Could just do a kind of, could just do it as Woody Allen.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah. Hello, Jan and Matt. I want to let you know about the course. It's moved on from the game to real life. I'm starting a new job next week and took a couple of weeks off in between to relax and enjoy the time with my wife and her two dogs.
My wife and her two dogs. Hello there.
Well, that's where American accents come from, isn't it? It's from like what regions of England they're from.
I grew up watching a lot of Jethro.
Yeah, I heard your podcast advertised on a different show and I wanted to start listening since I needed my Jan Richardson fix while waiting for the Future Nod season 3. And wow, have I made a mistake? In the 2 weeks that I've been listening to the back episodes of the show, we've had a washing machine break, a refrigerator break.
I've turned more into Janice from Friends.
Two late night wake-ups from one of the dogs being sick on our bed, and a coup de grace, and neighbors calling and knocking on our door at 5 a.m. because they needed a ride to the airport, and their car they ordered didn't show up. How powerful is Medford's courage when you binge old episodes? I'm just glad I don't have an FPL team. John, please keep up the great work on the show. Matt, please lose your powers wisely. It's from Matt B., St. Paul, Minnesota, USA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's something we haven't considered, the effect of the curse in posterity, that people could go back and listen to early episodes and be struck by the curse, not know what it was.
That is the sheer power. You know what it is? It's basically like nuclear waste. It's like it's just going to sit on the ocean floor for millennia. You better listen to this podcast in a lead-lined room, because if it gets out, this is, you know what? You talk about the things that you could power things with. There's so much raw power emanating from this podcast. It could solve that energy crisis. Or not. Well, anyway, this is a Comedians League. Let's get a comedian on. Welcome to the show, the fantastic comedian and manager of the Grealish Showman, Alexandra Haddo. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. A great team name, the Grealish Showman.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work, does it?
It only works if you pronounce it properly and you say Grealish.
Yeah, and then I did that. And do you know what? I was so obsessed with the Euros this year. And then I did that and I showed off to all my mates that play FPL. And they were like, you know, it's actually Grealish. And then I was like, well, whatever. It looks good written down, right?
I love it. I mean, grammatically. And you've pluralized showmen as well. I mean, you've committed to the pun.
For some morale, you know, for the boys, for the team. Yeah.
So let's have a look at how you're doing then with the Grealish Showmen. You're 15th in the league.
Yes.
On 359 points. So 15th in this league is roughly mid-table. So it's a good start.
100 points ahead of Matt Ford.
Yes.
My tactic was, I was so busy, the busiest I've ever been in my life when this league started. And so I forgot to change it on week two. And I thought, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep the same team until I go on the show. And then I'm going to change it every week and try and beat everyone and come out on top. And I logged on today, honestly, really nervous, because I thought, I bet you I'm at the bottom. But then I saw Sean Walsh there and I was like, do you know what? That's fine.
Well, this is fascinating, because it's a conversation we have on the podcast every week. Matt frequently makes changes that actually end up costing him points because the team he altered would have done better. And you are evidence that is the case. Just leave it. Like a scab, leave it.
I was scared that, honestly, I'd be in the bottom few. And Ivo Graham, I think we chat about this fairly regularly, and I'm delighted to say that as obsessed as he is with changing his team, me and him are exactly level pegging on points, not even position in the league, exact points.
Wow.
So I've already texted him to taunt him.
You are. It's very tight. That point in the league, you are tied with Ivor Graham and you are 2 points behind Alex Brooker. So the three of you there's a real battle for position going on there.
Yeah, so I'm sort of going to amp it up now that I've appeared on this and sort of hopefully beat you all. That's my plan.
Last week you had a relatively poor week for you, but it meant that you fell down the league. Actually, had you logged in a couple of weeks ago, you'd been even higher up the league.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. You dropped to 15th. A phrase I could only ever dream of hearing about myself.
So game week 6, you scored 74 points.
One of the weeks I scored 102.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't know how. I sort of picked it emotionally as well.
Okay, so what are the emotions behind those choices then?
not all of them, some of them. Jamie Vardy, I enjoy because he looks like every boy I met in a club from the ages of 15 to 20. and he plays for Leicester, and I'm from Corby originally, so it's like kind of my nearest big team. Schmeichel, big fan of Peter Schmeichel, I'm a big United fan. Kasper Schmeichel, that was just keeping it in the family.
Sold for £1 million, one of the worst deals in Leeds United's history. Yeah, we really, really should have held on. And I think he wanted to stay. It was a bad time for the club.
Oh, that's a shame. I just think he's quite a good person.
He's also a good goalkeeper.
He's a brilliant goalkeeper as well. I mean, obviously I didn't pick somebody that I thought was awful.
Are you writing this down, Matt?
Sod off, because I picked players because I thought they were good. I'm not trying to be, this is part of the problem with this narrative, is I'm not being deliberately rubbish. And I've got to say it for the first time this episode, my front three is Kane, Antonio and Ronaldo. That is not an idiot's choice. Robertson at the back, Salah and Benrahma in the middle. I actually think I've got one of the best teams in the league. I still stand by that. I stand by these boys.
They're doing it to annoy you, Matt. That's what's happening.
That would make more sense to me than what's actually happening. I actually can't make sense of how bad I am. That, in a weird way, any of them knowing who I am and then deliberately throwing their game to frustrate me somehow makes more sense. It's driving
me
mad.
So in terms of talking about big money signings who aren't necessarily delivering, you are, I guess, duty bound to have Jack Grealish in your side because they're called the Grealish Showman.
He is an
expensive player who is not, I mean, last week, 2 points, 26 points all season. It's not great on an £8 million midfielder when there's so much competition there.
No, it's very bad. But I sort of have to have him in for my team name to make sense. And I sort of fell in love with him when I was watching the Euros. So
if you could change anything about FPL, because obviously you can play wild cards, bench boosts, things like that. If you can invent some changes to the game, what would they be?
Changes to the FPL?
Yeah.
I think you should, well, seeing as I've picked mine sort of emotionally, maybe you get an emotional pick. once, I feel like once a week, that's maybe too much, but maybe once every 4 weeks you get an emotional pick and it's just sort of how they've been in general life that week. You get
points
for
that. That's a great idea. So like Rashford, for instance.
Exactly. I was literally about to say, so if you picked Rashford, you know, he got a doctorate this week, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd only be allowed to use him once in the entire league because otherwise everybody would be picking him for their emotional choice, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and there would have to be a sort of counterweight to that you couldn't have, you know, Ronaldo and Vardy and people like that.
Yeah.
It feels like this week there should be there's a thing in FIFA where if you get enough coins, you can buy a takeover. So you get, and especially what's happened at Newcastle, maybe there should be a chip where you can get a takeover and they just, for 1 week only, they pump like another 20 million into your team.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
We talked about this earlier about Newcastle and the Saudis. And, you know, I look down my nose at the Newcastle fans who overlook their human rights record. If the Saudi regime rang me up now and said, we will take over Notting Hill Forest and guide them to anywhere near in the top half of comedians FPL, I would sell in a heartbeat.
That's where your principles are. That's the bar. Yeah, but do you know what? Now that I'm going to change it every week and properly get into it because I'm very unemployed now, whereas I was very employed before.
Curse of Matt Fort.
I know that it's going to ruin my life because I'm extremely competitive to the point of annoyance, I think. So I feel like I've been in sort of blissful ignorance and now I'm going to be checking it every 12 minutes or something.
Yeah, what are we looking at in terms of hours then? Are you properly going to go for it now?
Yeah, I'm properly going in.
Now, combining comedy and football, you run a comedy club at a football club.
I do, yes. Yeah, so also that. So I'm sort of around people all the time and I run a monthly gig at Dulwich Hamlet Comedy Club.
That's so cool.
Which is very cool. And they're all the best gang in the world. And it's a brilliant gig. It's kind of like it's own little sort of... I don't want to say cult because that sounds ominous, doesn't it? But it's got a loyal following and they're all very good eggs.
I went to watch Dulwich Hamlet probably quite a few years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to say it attracts a clientele, but I have never yet been in a queue to get into a football ground behind two people going through their Sainsbury's bag to discuss who'd picked the best wine to go with the match.
Do you know what? If I was I was going to try and describe what they're like, but you've done it better than I could. I was going out with a lad from Salford, and we went a couple of years ago, and we went to watch them before a gig. And they have Prime Minister pies there, and they're delicious, right? Yeah. And they're all called things like the Kevin or the, you know, they've all got like a name like that. And
Heidi.
The Heidi, yes, John, exactly. That's the veggie one, I believe. Yeah. The Kevin is actually the vegan one, and it's so, I'm not vegan, but it's so tasty. Anyway, I feel like I'm doing an ad for Prime Minister now. But somebody shouted, Kevin for Lawrence, and three guys went, yep. That's me.
For me, it's already been a joy knowing that you're 100 points ahead of Matt Ford, literally having ignored your team. I'm excited to see how it develops. So will you come back on later in the season? And
oh, please.
It would be good to analyse this, whether transferring works or not, over a season and see if you get worse, A, yeah, having spoken to Matt Ford, and B, having pledged now to make more of an effort than you have.
I feel like I'm going to sort of be more stressed and do worse. So please enjoy the sort of change in tone of my voice next time when I'm pulling my hair out and I've become obsessed with it.
Well, if you beat John and I this week, in this game week, we will get you a tray of pies.
That would honestly be the peak of my career thus far.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers, Alex.
Good luck.
I'll see you later in the season.
So that about concludes things for this week, Matthew. We have, of course, the issue of our special star listener. Last week, you dedicated the show to anyone currently eating mashed potato. I have a steward's inquiry to put to you. An email from Andy Williams says, Hi, guys. Delighted to claim the star listener this week via the dubious claims committee. I was eating potato croquettes during the podcast. I don't think that counts.
What is the matter with you? Of course it counts. I was sat here nodding away warmly. That 100% counts. They're made of mashed potato.
Yeah, but they're not called mashed potato. They're called potato croquettes by definition. Where does this end? A potato waffle?
No. Potato croquettes are one of the few other potato products that clearly fall into the mashed potato category, and he is 100% asked our listener. And also, it's made me think, I've not had a potato croquette for probably a decade. And
do you know why that might be? Because they're horrible.
No, they're not. What's the matter with
them? They're really horrible, claggy, unpleasant. I think if you have mash with something, it makes you think, right, I need a lubricant with this. I need some gravy or some sauce. The breadcrumb around a croquette leads you to believe that it is a side dish on its own. So you don't put a gravy or a sauce with it. And then you end up with a hideously dry mouthful of claggy mash.
But that's because that would only befall you if you're a fool. Because you're having potato croquettes, so you obviously get in a tin of spaghetti hoop stuff with them.
Of course you do. I forget that you eat like a 7-year-old boy who's just come in from football. Hayden says, I'm currently on a cruise ship as a crew member, sadly in quarantine with COVID-19. I was halfway through the episode when my evening meal arrived, steak with mashed potato.
Yes!
Certainly one of my favourite foods. However, this mashed potato was definitely scooped out with an ice cream utensil. Not ideal.
Whoa. We talked about that last time. Dinner ladies doing it.
Bang on.
Wow. This is such a highly personal podcast for so many people. We're changing lives.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people this week. For me, so many people were touched by the mashed potato dedication that I think it's slightly invalidated. I think it would have been better to get emails from listeners who weren't eating mashed potato. So let's have something a little bit more nuanced this week, Matthew. Who's this week's podcast for?
This is for anyone who is, I mean, this is a long, long, this is a Hail Mary of a long shot. Anyone who is in Friesland in Holland, the province where I wept. It sounds like a Robert Redford film, doesn't it? Robert Redford film. The province where I wept. Be Robert Redford and Meryl Streep, and they're just being sort of fields of barley, low lit, and they talk about such a terrible time, and then they'd occasionally weep. But it would be a thrilling love story that would enthrall critics and audiences alike.
I can't wait for the Matt Ford documentary where you go back to Friesland, sort of triumphant. I can picture you now sort of wandering around in a polo shirt. just visiting the site, and this is the door she would hang off. And I remember I was sat here crying when she dropped stool. And of course, years later, I would go on to soil myself on the monkey bars in what I feel was an apology and a tribute to this mother.
I would play computer games in this computer shop. And I oddly was quite good at Street Fighter 2, but I had no idea what I was doing. And these Dutch kids would sort of crowd around. I'd just be furiously hitting the buttons as fast as I could. It sort of worked for a bit. And they were sort of enthralled by this weeping English boy who was good as Dao Sim. And then the sort of magic war, and then I wasn't good at it. And what little currency I had for that afternoon evaporated. But I realise, if anyone is in Friesland now listening to this very long shot, but if you've been there, if you've been to a De Boer supermarket, or if you've enjoyed the pleasure of Orinoco chocolate spread...
And if you've hung off a door handle until you achieved Orinoco flow, then this podcast is dedicated to you. That's all we've got time for this week. Good luck to all of you in the very welcome return of FPL in game week 8. Next week, we'll be joined by comedian Nathan Caton, and we will catch up with Patrick Bamford and last week's podcast guest Ian Sterling to see if he's won some personalised shin pads.
And remember, keep sending us any peculiar football stories you want us to discuss, forfeit or prize suggestions, or any questions for our guests. Tweet us at ComediansFPL or email us hello@cpfpl.com. And for the love of God, leave a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to this on. And if it's one of those platforms that allows a written review, then just take the time. Because I tell you what, it's lovely, John. I know you dipped into the reviews the other week. Mm. And I thought, whoa, you know, knowing what I know about the internet and the things that people can sometimes say. Oh, we've had so many lovely reviews on there. Someone says, I had to put weights down. Two of my favourite comedians, who are obviously great mates, taking chunks out of each other over their FPL choices. It's so good. And each week, the pain and torment of Matt magnifies. Excruciatingly sad and at the same time, very amusing. And I kind of feel like that's a good way to describe this show. Excruciatingly sad, but very amusing.
May the pain continue. And to all those of you who've missed a game week, remember, get your team selections in. It's by the time this podcast reaches your ears, most of the internationals will be over. Don't miss the deadline.
Bye.
Bye.